Good morning, 10:24 a.m. on Tuesday, September 15th, 2015, 9:15:15. I'm hiking right along this morning because 9:23, I'm a little bit late. I was asleep half an hour ago. Well, 40 minutes ago. And I still haven't had any coffee. The coffee pot was set to go off. It was loaded up with water and everything. But when I got up this morning, it hadn't gone off. I don't know quite why. But I kicked it and then didn't have time to get coffee before I had to leave, because I have to be back in time to wake a kid up, to get her fed, to get her to school on time, and then I can get on with my morning already in progress. So, yesterday it was more backstory day. It's coming together. It's coming together. I actually wrote an opening scene that I think is, how many times have I said this? I think is at least substantially correct. It feels relatively solid without giving too much away. It sets the stage, sets the scene, establishes the story in less than 500 words, in fewer than 500 words. Sunrise this morning is quite rosy and wonderful. I caught it at a good moment, and then for the picture, and then it's just continued to spread across the sky, this sort of rose color. It's just beginning to tinge the clouds above my head. I suspect it's going to start fading any minute now, because the sun will be up high enough to be shining on the tops of the clouds instead of the bottoms. Yeah, in fact, it's already started. Just cross the street, get a good look to the east. Look to the east! Yeah. So let's see, Tuesday the 15th. Tonight I'm having dinner with Brian Humphrey and Dave Robison from the Roundtable podcast. Brian, of course, lives here in town. I see Brian all the time. But Dave and his lovely wife are coming down from the Highland Festival in Estes Park to spend a few days here in the Lowcountry at 4,800 feet. And we'll be dining this evening on local delicacies. And sharing some tales of great Ulysses. Should be a good time. Looking forward to it. If it didn't threaten to be so loud and noisy and probably largely personal and uninteresting, I'd record it, but under the circumstances, this is not something that's going to get recorded. So tomorrow, Wednesday, my cover artist has promised me a mock-up, even though we don't have final cover art yet. Promised me a mock-up of the cover set for Seeker's Tales. And also tomorrow is my annual physical, where I get to go have the doctor look down my throat, look at my birth certificate. It's a it's not one I'm looking forward to, because I'm pretty sure he's going to insist that I have a colonoscopy this year. It's been, you know, I don't remember how long. So I think I was 52. This year I'm going to be 53. 63, so the recommendation is every 10 years. Yeah. Colonoscopy itself is pretty low-key, but those of you who haven't done it, the actual examination, while it sounds pretty horrible, is relatively non-eventful. The worst part is the IV line that they use, which is pretty low trauma on the scale of things. It's the prep that's horrible. Not only is the solution you have to drink horrible, the results are horrible. And it pretty much takes up your entire attention for several hours. I don't really need anything else to have my entire attention. So it goes. At any rate, that's one of those diagnostic tools that are important for making sure that I see my 70th birthday, I guess. Not that there's any guarantee anyway, but take the steps you can. Let's see, what am I thinking about today? The latest author earnings report came out. It's the further they go, the less interesting they become. There was also a survey out. I forget who did the survey. Authors Guild, I think. That showed that most authors lived below the poverty line in the U.S. Their earnings put them below the poverty line in the U.S. So, it's something ridiculously small per person. It's like, I want to say it's like, I don't know, 18, I don't know if it's 1,800 a month or 18,000 a year or something. But the Authors Guild is largely made up of traditionally published authors. The median, the mean rather, was 95,000 a year. And that's because there was one person who made 2.5 million. And another person who made like $100 or something. The median is down around some ridiculously low number. And that's the point where half of the people earning are above it and half of the people earning are below it. And the problem with that, of course, is that averages and medians don't mean much when you're not talking about a standard distribution. Standard distribution is the famous bell curve thing. But book sales, earnings, are not normally distributed. They're a power curve. And that's, in rough terms, the 80-20 rule. The top 20% earns 80%, Monk Post, or sells 20% of the units, or earns, I'm sorry, the top 20% sells 80% of the units, or earns 80% of the revenue, all other things being relatively equal. And it's even with the power curve and books and sales, it's actually a rather steep curve that drops off rather sharply To the point where I think it's something like 95% earns, I'm sorry, the top 5% earns 40% of all the revenue, which leaves the bottom 95% to earn the rest. It's a very steep curve, and it falls off very fast and tails off. In TradPub, it trails off to a cutoff. It trails off to a finite point because there's this vetting process that traditionally published authors think is very important because they suffer it. And the rest of us think is kind of, what it amounts to in economic terms is a barrier to entry. So unless you are one of the lucky few, and the number is like 1 in 10,000 manuscripts that makes it through the agent process and through the editing, the acquisitions editor process, industry estimates put those at 1 in 100 and 1 in 100, which gives you a multiplicative 1 in 10,000 chances of making it through. So, getting through that is really more luck than anything. There's a certain amount of skill, a certain amount of there are a lot of people who can't put 4 words together to make a coherent sentence, let alone an interesting coherent sentence. So there's a lot of people out there who believe that they are meant to be participating in the world of letters, who probably should have their keyboards taken away. Now, the problem, of course, is that you can't really say who those people are, because something that I absolutely despise might actually be something that some other people like. I can't read zombie books. They get me so really. Zombies, headshots, brains. Again, some more still. Can't read vampire books. I can't read werewolf books anymore. So most of urban fantasy, most of paranormal is off limits. I don't like it. It's the same book over and over and over again. And it always hinges on the shape-shifting aspect or the danger aspect. It's not something I like to read. If I find a book that has it, it's an automatic mixed. Doesn't mean the writing's not bad. Doesn't mean the writing is not good. It just means I can't read it. I don't like it. I don't find those stories interesting. The idea that there is some objective standard against which one can measure writing is one that is frequently touted, and the reality is you can't. It's not the writing. I keep running into this idea that comes back over and over again from my education days, where people are blaming the computers for isolating students. It's not the computers, it's not the technology, it's the way the technology is used. And painting all of the uses, all of the instantiations, all the examples of use with the same brush, with the same tarry brush. It's not a legitimate comparison. So if you put it in terms of other media, if you put it in terms of Because the comparison in distance said is, which is better, online or in person? And so I would always ask, which is better, the book or the play? Or the movie and the play? And the problem is, when you put it in those terms, it's pretty clear, A, while they both tell stories, B, they are not the same thing. Quite frequently, they are similar stories, but they're not the exact same story.
They're not the exact same story, but they could be the same story. I think of Hamlet, done on stage and done by movie.
It's pretty much the same story. It's pretty much the same words, allowing for creative license on the director's part, and whether or not they cleaned up the dialogue or modernized the language or whatever. Well, for all intents and purposes, it's the same story being told in two different media. Which one is better? Well, the movie might be better than the stage production if the movie is... Was it Kenneth Branagh that did Hamlet? And it's the high school drama club that does the play. Now, those two, one is going to be better than the other.
Is it because of the story?
No. Is it because of the medium?
No.
Good morning. And good morning to you. No, it's not the medium. It's the execution, and it's always the execution. Whenever you come down to media comparison studies, it's also always, always, always the execution, not the medium. Now, there are some things that are difficult to encode. Beethoven's Fifth is very difficult to encode in text. So having an audio rendition of it is probably more efficacious. But what's going to depend on why you've encoded Beethoven's Fifth in text. If it's to deconstruct the music, to deconstruct the various portions, to show how the various instrumental parts work together, then having it in a text format is probably much more advantageous, because you can actually see graphically on the page where the notes fall on the staves, on the staves. And so in the same way with books. You know, what's better, ebook or paper?
No.
Not the right question. What's better, traditional or indie? No, it's not the right question. The question is one of execution. Theoretically, the trad pubs can afford to spend more time. They have more practice at execution. So their books might be marginally better in terms of production values. Marginally. But the reality is, with a sufficiently practiced set of experts, and I can hire the same experts that McGraw-Hill can, there should be no difference in execution. Which brings it back to a question of taste. And once you're doing that, you're in trouble. At any rate, I am at the back gate. It is late. And tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.